Welcome back. I'm here with Rosemary Ibarra Hernandez, who is the founder and CEO of Aguila Youth Leadership Institute. We were just hearing from her about the magnificent work that the organization does and the practical teachings and also the inspirational teachings, which sometimes involve la chancla también. So I wanted to segue a little bit now into, you've been an educator for, I guess, practically your entire adult career in one way, shape, or form. When you talk to these young people who are going through your program, particularly in the last couple, 2, 3, 4 years, where there's been so much kind of social upheaval and turmoil. I mean, we went through the Trump administration, which was not considered a kind of friends of the Latino community while it was there. We went through COVID. We went through the George Floyd killing and the response and the protest marches. What are you hearing from young people right now? What's their sense of their future, and how do you keep them positive and optimistic about their potential and the promise of their future?
You know, James, I look at all this data that I have from them and what I've asked them to write, where they talk about they think how we could improve the world is easier access to healthcare and insurance, protection of same-sex and interracial marriages, protection at schools, make equipment to produce clean energy. Look, all leftover food needs to go to the homeless shelters.
These are the ideas the students are sharing with you.
Roe versus Wade must be protected. They are on top of things. We don't think that they are, but when we give them voice, it's astounding. It is astounding. And yes, they have gone through a lot. We actually had a counselor on virtual session with us, and we told them that they could chat. Either they could talk to us, they could put it on the chat, or they could anonymously or privately write things. And the private chat was just flying. They're depressed. There's abuse in the home because there's frustration through this COVID period. People were either they couldn't work, they lost their jobs, or they lost family. Some of our students lost their family that are in Mexico and could not go back to the services.
And they couldn't go to the services in some cases. Why? Because some of them may be undocumented children.
Right, exactly. Yeah. We are well known for our work with DACA and undocumented students, and we will continue to work with those students. And might I add, it's not just from Mexico.
Yeah.
So what we do with them is we help to support them and make them feel heard in terms of what their issues are. We have a lot of referrals. My background is in a lot of nonprofit, but also working government in social services. So I have a lot of connections to incredible organizations like Chicanos por la Causa, Friendly House, Bloom 365, Touchstone Services, all these different organizations who say, Rosemary, if you need help, please send your kids our way. So yes, we have seen a lot. We have heard a lot. Nothing surprises me.
Are you afraid for them, or do they make you hopeful about the future?
Both. I am afraid for them because of the hate that just is incredible out there. I'm afraid for them because the right people are not placed in offices, in political offices, that don't care about them. I'm afraid for them because they are not receiving an equal education. I'm afraid for them because those some people should not be educators. Some people should not be in educational administration.
And yet these children find their way to you. These young people
find their way to us. And we have great partners, not only in organizations, but universities. I can say, and I tell the students, I can be that bold to tell the president of Oberlin, a highly selective university, and say to him, I'm not going to send my students to you if you don't promise to me right now that you will take care of it. He grabbed my hand and he said, I promise you, Mrs. H. Or the president at Wartburg College, who I wish I had a picture of, him down on his knees in front of me, holding my hand, telling me, I thought I was going to propose. But he said, I promise you, I will take care of your students. And that, and I will hold them accountable. I am not afraid. And when I am not afraid, my students are not afraid.
What do you tell them in terms of their educational future to give them hope? What is the message you deliver to them?
I always tell them, look, it's not going to be easy. It will be difficult. Some of you will be pioneers in a school where people do not look like you, or you don't come from the same economic backgrounds, but you can do this. And I don't care what time it is. You can call me, you can text me. We are always here for you.
And they do call you, right? They do.
Oh yeah, 2:30 in the morning. Yeah.
you become something of a surrogate parent and counselor, yeah, and educator and all at once, right?
Oh, I tell them I am your other mother, and you will succeed. But I can't do it all for you. I can't, you know, wave a magic wand. You have to do the work. And I promise you, all will be well and you will succeed because you have a village behind you.
Just very quickly, did you have someone like a Rosemary Ivada Hernandez and all to guide you when you were a young student, not knowing what you were going to do? Was there someone like that for you? Or,
you know, I can't really think of someone who really, in grade school, no, absolutely not. It was a substandard education that got me to another substandard education.
Yeah, I mean, we're about the same age, and I think there was a lot of discouragement in schools for young Latinos and Latinas. The system was not necessarily an encouraging atmosphere.
Oh no, I was sent to a vocational school, and when I got there, my professor said, you know, what the heck are you doing here? You need to be applying to a great university. Let's have you apply to my university at Syracuse University in New York. Well, no one guided me. I married my first husband, who was a horrible person, and gave up going to Syracuse because I was admitted. And then years later, after I divorced him and I'm remarried, doing Aquila, having a great time, I just sat there and cried my eyes out when Syracuse asked if we had any students we could send them. It's been amazing, an amazing ride for me, because I want students to have what I didn't have. Even in college, I didn't have that either. I can think of a few professors on one hand who really were helpful or really wanted me to succeed.
It sounds extremely cliche, but children, young people, they just want to know that people believe in them. They just want to know that all our children are that way. It doesn't matter what your ethnic background is, what your economic background is, and so on and so forth. And I think that unfortunately, sometimes Latina children in system don't get that kind of feedback, and instead are somehow it's conveyed to them that things are stacked against you.
You're not college material, and that's still happening.
They get that, I think, that message sometimes simply by attending a school that happens to be in a low income area that they know when they go to the gymnasium and they watch the basketball game that the kids across town in the not so Latino neighborhood, they have a really nice gym and they have great basketballs, and they have, so they see it and they get that message, I think, in different ways. And what's wonderful about your program is that These kids walk through your door and you let them know, you know what, you guys are all even here. I mean, mm-hmm. you're all on the same plane here, and you're all going to make it, and you're all going to go forward. And that's the value, I think, of what you deliver.
It's beautiful. You know, in fact, one of our board members did say, the beauty of Aguila, when I go to a session, is everything goes to the wayside. Their economic background, everything goes to the wayside. And you see
young, and you don't have just Latino kids. Other children.
You see young people come together, and they're like-minded. They want to succeed. They want to go to college. I remember a couple of young men. One was a son of a doctor and went to Brophy. And one was the son of undocumented immigrants living in the housing project. They became the best of friends, the very best of friends to this day.
And they met at Aguila. Well, the work you're doing is fantastic, Rosemary. Keep doing it as long as you can. And I know at some point, you know, you'll probably have to have, what do they call it? Someone to sort of take your place.
A succession plan
and carry on. And I hope that that person is as passionate and dedicated as you are.
I hope so.
I know you have made so much of a difference in young people's lives. And I don't think there's anything else that I can think of that's more worthy of praise. It's just fantastic. So thank you, Rosemary Ibarra Hernandez from Aguila Youth Leadership Institute. Again, if you want to find out about the organization, go to aguilayouth.org. It's really an honor for me to have you, in part because I'm relaunching this program here at La Onda. So proud to have you on. Proud to have you on as one of our very first guests. And good luck with everything in the future. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. And thanks to La Onda.